The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome.
That was bad.
You never stop and start.
I never wow, stop and start. I am hung. Okay, here we go again.
Keep
take,
it.
Take two. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for listening.
Ugh.
This is Michelle is in rare form
you
today as we
voice?
Record this.
You know my voice? You hear my voice? Do you hear this? This is our
you
last.
Don't sound that different. I don't think you sound as different as you think you do. In your head, because it's all like foggy
my
and
head
whiskey
is not working right
out.
Now.
You sound different, but you sound the same to me.
All I'm going to say is Fireball and Jack Daniels. Okay?
Yeah, right?
Last night was our last night in Nashville. We had to do Broadway. Well, you didn't do it, you friggin'.
I did it. I had a cheeseburger, and I was in bed by 10.
Yeah, whatever. I said, I texted her from the bar. I'm like, we just had two shots of Fireball. Put your earplugs
in. And that was like right after I left. Like I had not even put on pajamas yet. And
stop
I got home and got that.
Moving the microphone. She talks with her hands. She's not.
Sorry. When we give you the mic, dear guest, make sure you hold it like this and don't move your head or
anyway,
Michelle is going to get mad at you.
I don't know when you're going to be listening to this episode. I don't even know what day it is, but I'm a little hungover.
This is the last of our Nashville interviews, although
yes,
it might not have been released last.
And it's pretty ironic that it's all about alcohol.
Right. So today's interview is with Brian Fuentes, and it's the Aero Bar, AEROBAR.
It's so cool.
We'll include all the links on our social media, of course, but check it out now if you're listening so you know what we're talking about because we're in a warehouse looking at the actual Aero Bars. And talking to Brian, the owner, and Amberly, the events coordinator. Also, Brian's parents are here. And there's a driver and a barista, right? Both?
There's lots
you,
of sir,
you don't tend? Operations manager.
It's a very cool warehouse.
There's a lot going on.
You did well. It's very well designed. I like it. I was like, oh, it's going to be all dirty and dusty. I'm going to be cold.
Well, you are cold.
I am cold.
Let me read the blurb real quick, and then we'll pass the mic. Fuente, I'm saying that right.
Fuente.
Right? Yes, Brian Fuente is the owner and founder of The Aero Bar. Originally from Mississippi, Brian has lived in Nashville for 12 years and has been involved in the Nashville music scene since his arrival. Over the years, he's built relationships with some of the venues, event planners, and tastemakers this town has to offer. He's passionate about the Nashville community and the cultivation of uniqueness in the city.
Ooh,
wasn't that good?
That was really good.
All right, Brian, I'm going to give you my mic and then we'll share, but tell us your story, who you are and your origins.
I'll give him my mic because I'm closer to him.
Okay.
First of all, thanks for having us. It's really an honor to have you guys here and talk about a business that's turned into something that really has become bigger than I ever expected it to, and it's just
that's
incredible.
Awesome.
How old are you?
35.
How old are you?
Halfway to 70.
Halfway is
yeah, just turned 35 a couple weeks ago.
Oh, are you Sagittarius?
Scorpio.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Scorpio. Good. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
but yeah, I moved here shortly after graduating college, came here in 07, and knew I had to get out of Mississippi to try to pursue, you know, a career in music, and came up here, and I was actually a sales rep for Pearl Drums for the first 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And that was really the only time I'd ever worked for anyone other than myself. I was there for 8 months and I didn't like it. I got out of it and started my own business at that point. All the while also trying to make it in the music industry, started a band. We were touring.
What kind of music?
That group was like a pop rock thing.
Uh-huh.
When I left Pearl, I had about a 4-month severance package, and during that 4 months, I was able to start my own business, and I started doing marketing and advertising and web design, and My mom has a furniture store. She hired me to do all of her summer house. I'll give her a plug.
Summer House is the name of this
store. Yeah.
In Missouri?
In Mississippi.
In Mississippi, sorry.
Yeah, Mississippi. And so she hired me to do all the web and national print ads and regional ads and that kind of thing. And so I've actually...
You're like a jack of all trades, though. Like the handy stuff, the web stuff, the tech, the business, and then
music.
Well,
it's all creative.
Yeah.
It's all creative.
Creating something.
Creating
but
something.
They're very different.
Yeah.
Did you do all the branding?
Yes.
I love it.
Thank you.
It's very well
Thank
done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, so I toured as a musician and artist for a long time. Up until really a couple of years ago, when I was just kind of looking for something different and something, I felt like the music industry for me, I was kind of finding myself just spinning wheels and working so hard. And, you know, I had a fan base and did all that, but I was really looking for just something completely different and something new. And this whole idea kind of just fell in my lap.
How did it fall in your lap?
I saw it done in a different city, but on a much smaller scale.
Okay.
And I thought it was the coolest concept.
Where you like you were at a place and a bar rolled up?
Yes.
But you were not in the, you didn't bartend. And all the things you were doing, bartending
I worked in the service, I worked in college, I waited tables for like, you know.
A minute?
A year, yeah. But other than that, no, I'd never bartended. Interesting. And.
Just like Amelia's Flowers, she never put together a bouquet. And she's fucking killing it.
Yeah. So I saw it done, and I was like, wow. And does Nashville have anything like this? And my brain was just spinning and spinning. And
so exciting
nothing.
When that happens.
Yeah. And so within 3 months, AeroBar became a thing.
Nice.
And we were the first mobile bar here in Nashville.
Did you buy one? And that was already sort of ready for?
So we launched our first bar, which is on our website. Henry
yes.
is his name. And it's one right behind you right now. That
he's
is
beautiful.
A, thank you. That is a brand
so
new trailer.
Pretty. Okay, so it's new. It looks
new.
Vintage.
Yeah.
It looks old.
So
it looks like the Aerostream.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so we took a shell, which actually it's modeled after a late '60s Shasta camper.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We took a shell. We converted it into the bar, and of course. It had many different looks before we actually decided to go with the look that it currently is. But it took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to build that thing.
Yeah.
I knew that building it, I had to do it right. I couldn't, and I learned that from my mother, who's a designer.
You can't go on the cheap. You can't, like...
You cannot do that. You have to just go the distance and go as far as you can to make something as beautiful as possible, because once it's out there, it's out there. And so I hand selected every piece of wood on that. It's all out of North Carolina. It's an ash. All the bar tops are.
It's beautiful.
And we spent quite some time building it ourselves. And also thought it was really cool too that to start this company, I would actually build this myself. I had no building experience.
You with your own hands?
Partially. for this particular, the first one, I hired a guy to do a lot of the woodworking. And,
yeah.
But I would still, you'd catch me at 3 o'clock in the morning hand sanding the bar tops and painting and putting the final touches on it.
That's
before
awesome.
We launched it.
That's awesome.
Were you present when they were, like, my dad told me when we bought our first house, like, if you have a plumber come over, just watch whatever he does.
Yes.
Because that's how, like,
I was,
were you here
I was,
just watching?
I was
like,
always there.
So that maybe for your next one,
right.
you could do even more.
Right. Because
you knew. Okay.
And
That's
two, it just
smart.
And it, plus it just meant more to me to be that involved.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously you're making design decisions kind of last minute and that kind of thing. So I had to be there for that. And also, Pat, who was working on it, you know, he had never built anything like this either. So we were trying to figure things out and that kind of thing. But yeah, so then Henry was born, and I remember we launched it June 19th of 2017.
What was the first event?
It was with,
walk?
Yeah, so we were actually, we were doing a launch party at the 12th Table. I don't know if you, so they're a rental company here in town. They have
So they were doing like a showcase that you.
For us, yeah. They,
oh, okay.
We set up in their lawn outside of their shop and they invited a bunch of industry professionals, and we launched the thing, and I was so nervous. I had been up since, like, I think I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning, putting, like, the lights in it and trying to get it finished for that event.
Were you in there making drinks during the event, or like standing next to it being like, come on.
I did. I had a buddy of mine. He was bartending, and I kind of helped, but I was out also, you know, talking to people about it. And it was wild because we finished with that event. And I started this business. I didn't really know what was going to happen. I thought it was going to be like a part-time thing, and we were just going to do two or three events a month or something like that. That particular night, we finished the event. I have 4 or 5 missed calls on my phone, and it's these corporate event planners out of California that were in town, and they happened to be driving by to see it. And they were like, "We need you tomorrow. Is there any way you can be in Leaper's Fork, which is about an hour south of town, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.? Alfa Romeo, the car company, wants it, and they just want to use it for 4 or 5 days." I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
That's like karmic, the whole, they happen to be there, we need it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you did it?
And we did it. We were there. And I was just freaking out. And so we dropped it off the next day, and they used it as a coffee bar. And then from that moment on, it became, you know, through a lot of hard work, a lot of outreach, a lot of networking, you know, it's turned into a much bigger business than we ever expected it to. And it's just awesome.
Give us some examples now of what people, clients hire, how you make it a different bar every time.
Well, as you all know, every event is so unique. You know, we do a lot of corporate. So when we do corporate, we're able to, and partially why I kind of, actually, the bar did not have our name on it for a very long time.
Ah.
And I did that on purpose because I wanted it to be able to fit into any scenario. You know, if we did a wedding, we actually had a gobo that you could project the wedding logo or the corporate logo on the interior of the bar. So it was completely their bar.
Oh,
and
awesome.
As we all know that, you know, experiences these days are so customized. People want a really unique experience. And I knew that from the beginning.
Yes.
I didn't want to brand it. I didn't want to put our name all over it. I wanted it to be you know, a blank slate for whatever event we were a part of. And so for instance, like recently we got rented out by WordPress. Well, it was the WordPress bar. It was completely branded in WordPress.
That's cool.
And they were just talking about WordPress. They weren't even serving beverages out of it. So we also use it as a rental piece as well.
Mm-hmm. But for weddings, you could put the name of the couple getting married, the date, all that.
Yes.
Do people, well, Amberly, maybe you can speak to this. Do people at weddings specifically also not maybe use it as a photo booth, but definitely is a pivotal for photos as like they're getting drinks, but.
Absolutely. I mean, our bar has been Instagrammed more than anything you can imagine in town. It's just so beautiful and unique. It makes for a great photo opportunity.
Yeah, I could definitely see the bride and groom in front of it. Bride and bride, you know, whatever, and then that being the picture that gets shared a lot, don't you
think?
Absolutely.
So you're Amberly, right? I like that name. I'm like, are you sure it's Amberly? It's not Amberly. What do you do here?
I'm the event coordinator.
Okay.
So I help work with our clients to create the experience they want it to be.
So you're talking to grooms, brides,
absolutely,
and. Moms, so talk us through the experience. If I wanted to hire an aero bar for my wedding, like how many hours do I do it for, and what can I do to make it like customize it or you
know? Absolutely. So our rentals start for 4 hours. That's our minimum.
Okay.
Which typically, you know, 6 hours is more appropriate for a reception.
Yeah.
But you can customize it in so many different ways. We work with an amazing calligrapher who can do custom menus. Mm-hmm. We have photo booths set up beside the bar. Mm-hmm. There's so many different options, even vintage glassware.
Mm-hmm.
It really can be beautiful. Yeah.
So you could do signature cocktail.
Absolutely.
Full bar or just beer, wine, champagne, which we call California bar. I don't know what you call it. and mocktails.
Mocktails. We even have hot cocos now. Mm-hmm. We can do a hot cocoa bar with all the toppings.
Nice. And then these generally are outside of the venue?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. We can even pull it up right beside a tent if they want to have it covered. We've done it inside, though, too.
Okay. Big barns. Because they're not huge. They're, you know,
Yeah, especially Scout.
Scout. Yeah, that one right there. He's cute. He reminds me of like a character on a Disney movie. Like he could be animated.
They do kind of have their own personalities.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, so you do cocktails or also coffee bars. You can even like serve like popcorn out of these or something like.
Absolutely.
Or donuts. Oh, yeah.
We actually did a wedding where we had donuts.
Nice. Nice. What else? Any other unique things that you've done?
It's, you know, it's mainly, you know, we're beverage focused. And so that's mainly what people come to us for. And so, you know, primarily it's all beverages.
Yeah. I get that nice espresso maker you got right here that you made me my much needed coffee out of.
Yeah. So, you know, especially in the colder months, coffees and hot cocos and ciders and that kind of thing are really popular. So we just got this brand new espresso machine out of Italy. It's a commercial machine, so we can put out a lot of espresso, and we can do lattes and cappuccinos and just pretty much any espresso-based drinks, you know.
And at a wedding, you know, you always want coffee with the cake. So
for sure.
So you've got the alcohol and the
all beverages covered.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you put that out, like, on the counter, or you have it in the back? You probably have it in the back, right?
Or, so, depending on the size of the wedding, if, you know, if it's 200-plus people, our bar is going to be pretty much full of
alcohol. Yeah.
So we would probably need to bring a cart and set that on. Or sometimes venues will have an indoor area where we can set this up on.
Yeah. You actually have these bars that you can roll into the venue as well if you don't want the mobile.
Right.
Yeah. Or set up right next to them with a little vignette of their own. I saw like cafe tables on the Instagram. I would love to learn or talk to you a little bit about how you work with caterers who might be doing the bar, they're doing all the food, it's your bartenders, it's your insurance, is it their liability, like, and how do you correspond with them ahead of time, not just through the client, but like, do you call the catering manager if you haven't worked with them before? How does that, you typically work for a wedding?
So, typically, gosh, I would say most of the time we know the caterer, and it's just kind of understood how it's going to work, but yes, we carry our own, which is very important, liquor liability and general liability insurance. And so, you know, for each venue, we have to additionally insure them additionally insure the event. So all insurances are covered, for the day. But typically, you know, a lot of times now caterers are also offering bar service.
Yeah.
However, because the industry has become just more customized, caterers oftentimes just want to focus on food.
Yeah.
And so when we get hired on top of a caterer that already has, that does bar, they're hiring us to do custom crafted cocktails.
It's this experience.
And build more of an experience. Yeah. So, you know, at that point, we're really dealing more directly with the client than the caterer.
Bring all the glassware then for whatever you're gonna.
So we don't provide glassware in particular, but we do work with rental companies and we can coordinate all of that.
So okay. So you don't have your own inventory of glassware, and actually, a lot of venues, depending on where it's at, if you can't use glass, like you have to use plastic.
I would say 8 out of 10 times we're using disposable. Yeah. I mean, because it's just easy, you know. Obviously, a cocktail is going to look a lot prettier in beautiful glassware, but a lot of times it's just disposable drinkware.
Technical wedding planner question. If I have 200 guests at a wedding, and as they enter reception, I want the tables to have passed. I want the servers to go around and pour wine and ask the guests, do you want wine for the toast or with dinner? Do you guys handle that then?
For sure. So we, again, depending on if they want that, we will bring in additional
staff
to handle that.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that is getting requested more often.
Right. So it could be that they hire you and you're doing alcohol for the entire event with your own rented either glassware or you bring your own, and the caterer is handling food, and you both have your own staffs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, oftentimes, again, the caterer will handle
The table service.
The table service.
Okay.
But not all caterers have licensed staff to serve either.
Right.
So they require that we do that. Or we can hire a third-party company to come in and assist with that if it's a larger wedding or event. So, and keep in mind, too, we do mobile bars, but we also, a lot of our business now is bartending. Mm. So not, like, our bars will not always fit into a space, so we're getting hired to actually bartend inside of venues.
Yeah, which I've had to do a lot.
Did you, like, when you set out, you were like, oh, it's a couple events a month.
What do we have, like, 22 or 23 bartenders now?
Wow.
Did I ever expect that? No.
No. You had the vision
of... No, I can't. It's crazy. but that's just like when you execute and you treat people well and you treat your clients like family, you're going to find that people are going to come back and their word of mouth is so strong. And like, and because of that, I think we've just been able to take over a lot of the events in Nashville because we're a little bit different, and our hiring process is so strong. I hire people that have a lot of personality. I hire people that make they ask about somebody's day or somebody's week as they come in and get a drink, or you know, it's a more.
If just, we lived here, you would hire us, is what you're trying to say.
Yes,
like engaging,
absolutely, absolutely,
just like dynamic.
We'll teach you how to make cocktails. Yeah.
I want to stop and say something about that, right, what you just said, and to those listening, because obviously our audience is all over the world. It's not just in Nashville. But hiring a wedding professional who has this type of mentality, who thinks of their staff as family, who gets along and plays well with other wedding professionals at your wedding, you guys, it doesn't matter what vendor it is you're talking about, whether it's your photographer, your DJ, your bartender, whoever it is. You want somebody with this type of mentality. You don't want to look for the cheapest vendor. Some of you might because you're on a budget. But listen to them and talk to them and listen, ask them about their staff and pay attention to the way that they're talking about them. That if they use the word family like you just did, this is who you want to work with. It's so important.
And I'm going to let Amberly talk on this too because she deals a lot with the staff that we have. But, you know, how many times have you been to an event where you just see a caterer or bartender just sitting behind the bar, just kind of waiting to just get off the clock?
Yes.
And that is not.
It's hospitality.
It has to be.
Yes.
We're there to do one thing, and that's to take care of the beverage side of things,
mm-hmm.
and to take care of the people. And if you think about it, and. A lot of times, I think in the past, the bar has kind of been an afterthought.
Mm.
I think now we're educating people now that the bar is actually quite important. Because where do you spend most of your time at a wedding?
Most of your money also. We were just talking about how like food and beverage break down for maybe a hotel or a place that just cranks out weddings all the time. You'll get like a per person estimate and you're like $150 per person. We're just having chicken. But they're estimating the 4 hours of open bar or whatever. And then that's just an estimate. The bill you're going to get after the wedding is almost always because your guests drank more than they had estimated for. So a large portion of your wedding budget is going to beverage anyway. So the idea that like weddings now, maybe millennials have something to do with it, but younger brides and grooms and people getting married, the bar is becoming more important for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But you're tapping into that like experience.
Right.
Not just that the drink is delicious, but the whole people are going to go home and be like, that was the best wedding. The bartender was so nice. And, you know, it was a good experience all the way around.
Right.
We need to interrupt this episode for our new sponsor,
Care of. It is a monthly subscription vitamin service. Care, C-A-R-E, of, O-F. Personalized vitamin and supplement packs delivered to your door.
So the website is takecareof.com. You guys, this is a really good way to implement something new for 2019, and that is your health goals. And it's so easy.
We're doing something good. And do something good for your health in 2019. Care of makes it easy to stick to your health-related resolutions. And I say that now I've experienced it. And I did throw 8 or 9 of these little customized packets into my suitcase when I went home to Texas for Christmas. And it was so
They're
nice.
They're so cute too.
Yeah. It was just nice to be able to like not have to sort things out or remember 45 different bottles. So I am a believer.
What is really cool about this is there is an online quiz. It takes you like 5 minutes. It asks you really good questions. And based on your answers, they send you personalized vitamin packets. For example, my priorities were my digestion, bone health. I have a family history of bone issues. These are questions in the quiz. Brain, do I have trouble focusing? Am I concerned about short-term memory? You guys, I forget words all the time. Words that are easy words. Like, I forget them all the time. Energy. Do I feel burnt out or fatigued? Or you know that afternoon slump when you're like, I need coffee at like 3 or 4?
Totally.
Family history of heart problems. All of these things are asked in the online quiz. I have this really, listen to this. See this? This is a really cute little packet that says, hi, Michelle. And inside of each individual sealed packets are my vitamins for the day.
I have 3 vitamins and I take them every day. And I enjoy the convenience of the little packet as well.
And that was a big deal for Christy.
Yeah.
That was a big deal for you to do.
It is, because if it's not easy and convenient, I just won't do it, damn it. Also, there's vegan and vegetarian supplement options available to match your needs. So think about that.
No guesswork here, people. Take the online quiz. Get it all sent off to your door. This is an awesome company. We believe in it. We're using it. We're into it. Experience it for yourself. Care of is offering 50% off to you guys. So go to takecareof.com and your promo code is BIGWEDDING50, BIGWEDDING50 for 50% off, you guys. It's a great savings. We want you to be healthy. This is an easy way of doing it. Thank you so much to Care Of.
So, and are you like, if they call, are you answering the phone?
Absolutely. Yeah. We love to talk to our clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And emailing and... So if you're comfortable talking about it price-wise, how does this work? Like, do you charge by the hour? Do you charge by consumption? Do you have different packages?
We have different packages, and it starts at 4 hours mm-hmm. and goes up from there. We also charge per person. It really just depends on what kind of experience you want.
Right.
Like, you know, if we have our 2 signature cocktail package where you can choose 2 very specific cocktails, mm-hmm. One for each the couple, but
will you make up a cocktail?
We absolutely can make up
a signature drink based on the couple, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we use fresh juices. We make our simple syrups. Like, it's very detailed.
Okay. So you're not just running to Costco and buying in bulk and like, you know, doing the best, the cheapest.
I'll say one more thing too about like, we have packages, but oftentimes those packages are really like, those are just starting points. I hate to use the word package because, again, every event is so unique. And we invest our time into each event, you know, making sure that the client knows that we are totally there for them. It's not, okay, yeah, we have our starting points, but let's expand on it or we can take away from it. Like, it's not, and I think that's really important too. Like, we're just real people, you know, and we're really customizing everything to our client.
Now, you're not only in Nashville too. You've got in Southern California.
Yeah, Aero so we have Aerobar SoCal,
which
nice. Yeah. So they launched this year, and it took them a little while to get going. Just with construction side, we built the shell and shipped it out there, and then they finished it out there. But now I think they booked 8 or 9 weddings just last week.
Wow.
So we're real excited about that.
I was hoping that y'all could tell us what your favorite, or if it's not your personal favorite, what's a real crowd pleaser that you're seeing with the drinks, especially if they're only choosing 2 or 3 cocktails, signature drinks. Like, I might think my signature drink is delicious, but then at the end of the event, like, you know, I'll be the only one drinking it maybe. But what are some like, okay, hits with you're balancing all those flavors?
I mean, traditionally, you know, we oftentimes send our menu out, which some cocktails have 5+ ingredients. A lot of times people still want the classics, old fashions, mules, Cosmos, stuff like that. I mean, basic cocktails, you know. So we always, anytime we show up, we always bring basic mixers and that kind of thing. And if they have their base spirits like vodka, gin, tequila, bourbon, we can make cocktails from that. But yeah, traditionally speaking, classic cocktails are still pretty strong, you know. And obviously when you're doing, you know, sometimes we're doing 300 plus guests, you know, for an event. And so you have to keep prep time and stuff like that in mind when, you know, if you're doing a 5+ ingredient cocktail, it takes a lot longer to build that than, plus we just came out with our own line of old fashioned, fresh ingredient, old fashioned mix that is awesome. And so it's really delicious.
Nice. Yeah. Can you do hot toddies?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good.
Is the old fashioned, the Nashville, like when I go to I see that Aperol Spritzer poster you have back there, and I was just in Spain and France, like coastal France, and that was what we drank the whole time.
And
because it was like what everyone was
this
drinking.
This summer, Aperol Spritz was huge.
Yes, it was like the new rosé-based drink.
Yes.
And my brother drinks a lot, and he and his boyfriend told me when we went to Spain and France, he was like, just drink Aperol Spritzers the whole time. They're delicious. You won't get, you know, stupid drunk, but you'll have a nice... But he had all the... And so we did, and it was great. So we like to... Like, the regionally based drink is the old-fashioned Nashville's? Because we're hearing that a lot.
Old-fashioned's?
Yeah, I think it's everywhere.
It's just a classic cocktail. It's been around for a long time, and it's just... It's booze-forward. It's just a wonderful...
little sweetness to it.
A little bit of sweetness, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice... Just a... easy cocktail.
Are you trying to use like local breweries and stuff? Like I've been drinking Hop Perfect here in Nashville.
Oh yeah, Yazoo.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
I love hoppy beer.
Oh god, me too.
I like a good IPA.
We also do a lot of destination weddings, and people always ask, "Well, we want some local stuff. Can you make recommendations?" Of course, we.
You source it.
Yeah, we have so many friends in the beer industry here, and we often promote the local product versus the national stuff, but yeah.
So again, going back to pricing and quote unquote packages, do you give the option of either? Because this is always the kind of like, do I go based on consumption or do I just pay per person? That's always the two schools of thought when it comes to alcohol.
Yeah. So how we work is we actually don't provide the alcohol.
Huh?
Yeah.
You just serve it.
Check this out.
Okay.
So,
what?
We so now hold on. This is a good thing for the listeners because there are two types of there's you can have an offsite license to serve, which it would be a caterer that has a commercial kitchen and they can also serve food. They are allowed to have a license to provide or sell alcohol directly.
Okay.
Aero Bar, we do not have a liquor license. We are licensed to serve. We have the insurances. And what we do is the client will say, okay, we have 200 guests. We want beer, wine, and cocktails. Can you help us out? Cool. We say, okay, this is how much beer we need. This is how much...
Oh, you tell them. This is what you buy.
Well, and what we do, we have a close relationship with one of the largest liquor stores in town.
Okay.
We set the order up for the client. They approve it. Once they approve it, they call in their credit card number, pay for the order over the phone. The liquor store delivers it to the event. We prep it on site, and it's ready to go.
Excellent.
The good thing about that is that you're not paying markup. You know, a caterer is going to mark it up. It's just different. It's you know, it's different how you want
to.
Some people do want it to come all from one place, and we actually can offer that. We have a catering partner that that we use. We can even do a cash bar with them, and so. It just depends on...
So your pricing is just for your service.
Rental and the service.
You will consult with the clients on how much alcohol and what
Correct.
To order. You guys do that? Or
yes.
Will the liquor store that
we,
you have...
We do all of that.
So do you have a quick rule of thumb for anybody listening? If I've got 200 guests? Because also, will your liquor store let you return the alcohol if it's not opened?
It depends on if it's been chilled.
Oh.
Yeah, so beer can't be returned. I don't know about other states, but in Tennessee, it can't be returned.
Okay.
Chilled wine cannot be returned.
Uh-huh.
And when we keep that in mind when we're... doing
you,
events.
You only do a little bit at a time. You don't like, that's one thing. I did this wedding in Boston and the groom was like, do not open every single bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Do not open every, you know, bottle of Jack because we might be able to return it. Although we ran out and he had to go to the store and go buy
more. I do think though that we've got it pretty dialed in. So yeah. We try not to over purchase. Now some clients are like, they go way over the top. Like, we are not running out of alcohol. I'm like, cool, whatever you want.
That's the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't run out of alcohol.
Yep. We've had to, but the good thing with our liquor store is we can literally call them and within 20 minutes, they can, as long as it's within reasonable driving distance.
They'll deliver it. Like, because you have that relationship with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we would never, like, even if that happens, we never let the client know we're even getting low. Like, the client is there to enjoy themselves, and we just deal with it later.
How many glasses will you get out of a bottle of red wine?
4.5 to 5, depending on...
Yeah. Oh, you do small pours.
Yeah, or if you do... I mean...
Do you use the jiggers for all the cocktails? Like, do you measure it out?
Sometimes.
Or do you just, like...
We do
pour
counts.
And then count one. No, two,
it depends
three, four,
on the cocktail.
Five, six, seven. I always count to seven. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's my thing.
Three, seven. Yeah. Yeah. It just it depends.
And champagne's like 6 glasses, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
Bottle of champagne, regular bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
He's like,
depending on who we're pouring for.
8.
Depends on who's watching us.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't overserve.
Yeah. Depends on the client.
It's a streamlined process with it. You're taking the guessing game out of the client, because what we're getting at is, as planners, if it's a BYO venue, we get asked, well, how much should we buy? And we go to our little form and like calculate, but it's a guessing game.
It's
for
a
us.
Guessing
we don't
game.
Know your guests. I don't know how much do your frat brothers drink.
It's again, every wedding, every event's unique. It's different.
But you've done enough to like have guessed and checked that math, you know, enough to figure it out. So there's no. It's not a huge overage if there's an overage.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're hiring bar service, make sure you're hiring someone that has experience, because, you know, you don't want to be overspending or having to deal with those kind of scenarios at your wedding if there's not enough or that kind of thing.
So how often do you have to keep an eye on that one or two guests that your clients say, my uncle is a raging alcoholic? You got to keep an eye on him, or that girl over there is way too drunk. We're not going to serve her anymore. I mean, how do you handle that when you see someone at an event and you're like, I can't serve that person anymore? Do you have like policies in place? This guy needs to talk about it.
We put Jake. He's
this bartender.
Jake
keeps an eye.
Alcohol does funny things to people.
Yes, it does.
You have to be very careful and be be I mean, goodness, I know like the past few weddings, there's always like some one or two people that kind of, you know, can get a little funny, and you just gotta
get a little funny.
Yeah,
that's a nice way of saying it.
Treat them
nice.
With respect, and hopefully they respect you back.
Yeah. But I mean, do you have policies in place with your staff, like do not serve if you see the eyes crossing? I mean,
oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And everyone is licensed and they know responsible bartending.
Sure.
So,
do you go to like the groom and say, hey, we just got to let you know that we're going to have to stop serving your cousin?
Traditionally, we try to stay away from having to go to the bride or groom, because we don't want to interrupt their time, but maybe the mother. Or the father.
Or the planner. Yeah.
Traditionally, the planner first.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the venue wants that. Like, they kind of want to take control of that, too, just depending on the situation. But it's usually the planner first, mm-hmm. then the mother or the father.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's an issue. Does that happen often, do you feel?
With Aerobar, we're doing a lot of higher-end events. That not saying that people don't get out
gotcha,
of hand.
Gotcha. But so they're not coming over and say, give me 11 drop shot.
Yeah.
I love it. I know it's a pain in the ass to make. Don't order it out at like really busy bars, but I love it. I don't care.
You were talking last night about the like, if you're going to order a lemon drop, don't just order one. It needs to be like 5.
He gets all like, his hands are all sticky and he's like, ladies, go away with the one shot at a time. Yeah. That's why Fireball, I know it's like not a great fancy drink, but at least it's got some girl. It's sweet enough. Anyway, what I'm saying is Fireball's easy, but Lemon Drop.
This is a discussion we were having last night because, and again, you're more higher and you're probably not pouring shots, but Lizzie, last night, she was like, what kind of shot do if I want to do a shot, what am I going to order? Because I don't like the smell of vodka.
She panicked and was just like, vodka. They just poured like straight vodka shots. The bartender was like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah.
And I don't like sweet drinks. I am just straight whiskey, like on the rocks, splash soda water. So if I get a shot, I was like, what kind of shot? I don't want to shoot whiskey. So it became Fireball.
That being said, shots at a wedding are a bad idea in general. And when we see them as planners, if it's an open bar, I mean, it's an open bar. The bartender is probably allowed to do them. But if I see a line of shots, I'm over there. Like, all right, clear out. Yeah. Clear out, everyone.
Oh, no. We are not doing this. However, if you're on Broadway in Nashville, you're going to do some shots.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to be careful with that. You know, it can get out of hand quickly, but
very quickly.
We're there to celebrate, so let's have a good time responsibly.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. Yes.
I was going to say, too, like something that's kind of cool that we're going to start doing more of, I hope, is offering, like, say we have our mobile bar, like especially for spring and summertime, we could do our mobile bar outside and then put one of our bar carts next to it, and we're going to start doing, like, bourbon tastings.
Ooh.
So we'll have one of our staff who's like really trained on the product, and then they can. I think that'd just be kind of a cool. I mean, we're doing one this week, as a matter of fact, on Thursday. But you know, where we can, it's just more customized.
Down.
It's like come over and do some tastings and that kind of thing.
Get that with somebody rolling cigars.
Yeah, well, we have. We're working on some cigar stuff too. I think that's. We're working on that. But yeah, I think just, again, coming back to when it comes to the bar, just creating that mobile experience that you just can't find anywhere else is so important.
Yeah, we're into it. I bet we'll be seeing it at a lot more of all the weddings that we're doing, Michelle. Some cart or truck or mobile experience of some sort.
Well, and in California, a lot of them are just actually not doing alcohol and they're doing bud bars because it's legal. Marijuana and fun.
Well, if the laws change here, you better believe
you're
going to
get on that. But the law is such that if you're going to have marijuana at your wedding, you cannot have alcohol right now. You can't have. It's one or the other. But think about designing that. That would be awesome.
Aerobud.
Oh, Mom. Yes. Aerobud.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
That idea. That's our idea.
That's us.
We're all sharing together.
I just trademarked it.
Just now. By the way, okay. Hold on. I got to call my attorney.
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah. All right. We should wrap up, but drop your last advice.
That we haven't talked about.
What do you think?
Do you think we covered it all?
I think, yeah, we're working on, Aerobar's working on expanding to other cities, too. So we're in the process of talking to some other people right now. And so hopefully...
it'll be at a city near you.
Coming to a town near you.
Yeah. Well, and you do. You will travel with these. You can put them on a flatbed and bring it.
We can. I mean, I try to stick within 300 miles of Nashville for this particular bar. But I know Southern California can travel. I mean, they were in Phoenix recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I you know, we're looking to take the same concept. It's proven to be a real thing here in Nashville, and it's, you know, really it's about finding the right owners that are willing to put in. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
the bar, like people don't think, you know, we're there for 4 maybe 6 hours.
Yeah,
but we've spent
the
15
prep
or
time.
Sometimes 18, 20 hours prepping for that event between emails and phone calls. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
and so it takes the right people to run the, you know, to the business, and we're not going to just have anybody come on that wouldn't represent the company well, because we, you know, we have worked very hard to build a really great brand.
Great brand. Yeah, so, it's your baby.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for being on the show and having us in your lovely, well-designed, really cool warehouse. I kind of want to live back there. That wood's cool.
No, come on in.
If she just moved in.
We could Airbnb this place.
Oh, I was going to say, too, like, you know, what's cool is, like, we actually, so one of the photo booth companies in town. They have all their photo equipment back there.
Oh, cool.
One of the calligraphers, Whiting Calligraphy, she's back there.
Oh, we interviewed her.
Oh, her, all of her stuff's back here. Claire.
Oh, yeah, she did tell us that. Claire said she shared your space.
Yeah, and what's cool about this town, we didn't really talk about Nashville much, but what's really great for those who live here or for those who are thinking about a destination here, wedding, this is such a wonderful city to have a wedding in.
It is.
You know, the industry tends to support one another, and that's what's so great about this town. It's just an awesome, awesome community of really talented industry professionals, and we all hang out together and work together, and it's a great community, truly.
It is. We have definitely experienced that hospitality, and it's very lovely. It's fun, and it's fun. Oh God.
Thank you very much. I mentioned the social media, and I'll put it in show notes, but please drop where people can follow you.
Yeah, so Instagram is just at the Aero Bar, and you can just Google it.
And it's A-E-R-O.
A-E-R-O, yes. The Aero Bar.
Yes, excellent. And the website is where they can find contact info with Amberly to book it and stuff, right? Okay, great. Well, now I'll do all of our stuff. If you want to ask us a question, please email at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Download on iTunes, Stitcher. You can ask Alexa for us. Make sure
Alexa,
you say podcast twice.
Say podcast twice.
And I am still tweeting and still answering all tweets that come in.
Tweet.
All tweets. TBWP podcast, Facebook and Instagram. Our hashtag is PlanThatWedding. If you want to support us with $5 or $10 or $1,000
a month,
you can become a patron, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And we have a phone number.
415-723-1625. Call, leave a message, leave us your question. We will put it on. You ask, we answer the last Wednesday of every month. That's the favorite. Everybody loves a little Yawa.
Love you.
Love you, love your show.
Bye.
Bye.